Good morning. Good morning, Beth, family, and friends, neighbors. It's good to have all of you come and join us in our podcast gathering again on another Sunday morning. And knowing that God is good and God is on the throne, and we are just blessed today to be able to still have time to serve Him here on earth and worship Him and let others know how good our God is and to give God the glory that He deserves. He's a wonderful God, and I'm just so glad to know Him. Amen. And I'm so glad that He loved me enough to send His Son to die on the cross for my sins and to save, amen, a sinner like me. So I just praise Him this morning as we come. Thank all of you for just joining in with us. And we're hoping and praying that God will be with us in this time, that we can all be uplifted as we share in song and in word and in the prayer. We're going to ask now that Cheryl will come and give us our prayer. All right. Let me see. Let her check in. And then we will go for
Good morning. Can you hear me? All right, great. Good. Amen. Good morning, church family. I hope you're grateful this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Gracious God, how we bless your name this morning, Lord. We love you. God, we just appreciate you this morning, God. And we just want to take time to praise you this morning for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, and we have enough sense to know that we made it this far by faith because of your grace and because of your mercy. We thank you that you have been kind to us. Thank you that you have been long-suffering and patient. We thank you for your goodness toward us. Not only this body of believers, but all of our family, God, are still with us, God. And we thank you for those that are still with us, that you still allowed us to enjoy and appreciate. Thank you for the those who are becoming healed, God, through the pandemic, those that you're bringing out of this situation. Thank you for the vaccinations, God. All of your blessings toward us, God. We praise you for your faithfulness right now, God. We bless you, God, for just being, God, all by yourself. Thank you for food and clothing and shelter. God, it was in the middle of the storm. A few weeks ago, we began to realize the things that we take for granted. So we thank you for all that you have blessed our lives with and bestowed upon us. We praise you that we're in our right minds on this morning. We thank you that we have a relationship with you, Father, that we can come to your throne, Father God, anytime, boldly, Father God, and obtain grace and mercy, God, in the time of need. We praise you for just your goodness and your mercy. Our family, God, still strong, still standing with us on today. We thank you for our church family. And then, God, we thank you just for peace right in the middle of pain, God. Thank you for your peace in the middle of storms. Thank you how you steeled us, God, and when all around us was going haywire. We thank you that you're the God of peace and the God of comfort. And that as this morning, God, we pray for Carla's family and others' families, God, that experienced bereavement in the last few weeks who have experienced loss. We pray, God, you would hold them in your arms like only you can, that you would strengthen them during this time, Father God. And that you would give them peace, Father God, as they go through loss during this season, and that you would just encourage them during this time. And we pray for not only those who are bereaved, but others who are experiencing a difficult season, a difficult time. We pray, Father God, you would send your church, send one of these people from Bethsaida, send one of your children, Father God, to be able to minister to those who need a special word, a special touch from you on today, on this week, God. Use our lives, God, like never before. There's so many around us, God, that you're going to, on purpose, send in our direction that will need a strength, that will need a word, that will need encouragement. And God, you have deployed us as your body. And so we pray, Father God, that we take the assignments that you've given us this week. We pray, God, that you order our steps and we take those things seriously. There's so many, Father God, lives, Father God, that are hanging in the balance. We pray for the family, oh God, of the 11-year-old little girl who took her own life, Father. God, I can't imagine how that mother's feeling this morning. I pray you would hold her and you would keep her. God, I pray you would strengthen her faith on this morning. God, that you remind her that you're still good and you're still God. But all the questions that she has, God, I pray you give her answers. I pray, Father God, that you would just meet her in that place. Father God, with even grace, if there are even no answers, God, give her grace this morning. Give her mercy as this family is struggling with trying to figure it out, Father God. And there's so many others, God, who have been on the verge of suicide this during this year, during this season, God, last year. We lift, Father God, those people to you on today, those who are addicted, those who are medicating themselves, Father God, with all types of things. We pray that you would break every stronghold. We pray that that the blood of Jesus would cover and protect all of our loved ones, Father God, even those who don't know you, that you would, God, draw them to yourself before it's everlasting too late. We pray, God, we be a light for them, that we be the salt of the earth, and that we make a difference in this world. We thank you and we pray to bless our time together today. We thank you for our family, God, being able to come together and worship today, just to be together. Thank you that we are strengthened by our coming. So we pray, Father God, for the word from the man of God today. Use him, Father God, to your glory. We pray no flesh will glory in your presence, but all will be said and done to bring you honor and to bring you glory, and that would impact our lives for the good. We thank you and we pray you for our children, God. They're almost out of school, God. I pray you continue to keep them. Thank you that you have been keeping them, Father God. You have been sustaining them and you have been holding them up. So we pray, Father God, as we finish out this year, that we finish strong. God, we know they have tests coming up and 9 weeks grades and everything coming up. We pray, God, for victory in their lives. It's in Jesus' name. God, not only our children in high school, elementary, but even the ones that are in college, we pray you do a great and mighty work through them and for them. It's in Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank Cheryl for that prayer. We certainly appreciate her leading us to the altar this morning. Now let's get into the word of God this morning. Familiar passage of scripture found in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. When you find it, it reads, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hands the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of his place, called the name of the place, of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and to the hearers. And we pray that as you live out God's will, you will experience his blessings in your life. We pray that you leave your Bibles open so you can we can look together at some things and see how God does what God always does. Today, we entitle this message, Grown Folks' Faith. Grown Folks' Faith. Amen. And what I mean by that is I'm not talking about our chronological age. When I say grown folks' faith, I'm more looking at our spiritual maturity. So I'm talking about having a mature faith. How has your faith grown through the years or during the time that you've had a relationship with God? Has your faith grown? If your faith has grown, and we want to see, look at some things, and so you can determine if your faith has grown to the point that you have a mature faith. I'm talking about a mature faith when I say a grown folks' faith, not your how many years, how old you are in chronological age, but how far you've come towards being spiritually mature and being mature in Christ. We want to look, because that should be the goal of every believer, to become spiritually mature. Amen. A lot of times we feel that once we've confessed Christ, we prayed to accept Christ as our Savior, we began to follow him as Lord and Savior, then that's the end of it. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. What we're working for, my brothers and sisters, is to grow in our faith and grow as believers in the Lord. We're working, we should be moving each day of our lives toward maturity, which can be also be said to be Christ-likeness. Let me just share a couple of ways before we get into our text that you can kind of tell if you're moving toward maturity. Well, this is actually in our text. Let me put it like this so I can show you a note. There are at least four places in our text, or in the story surrounding our text, the context. When you read the whole story of Abraham, from beginning at chapter 12 through chapters 22 and even 23 and 24, when you read the whole story, you will find that Abraham consistently built altars. In chapter 12, he built an altar of praise, where he blessed God because God was going to make him a great nation. And after God had told him that all the people of the earth should be blessed through his descendants or his offspring, really meaning that all the nations of the earth should be blessed through Jesus Christ, who was his blood descendant. And he builds an altar at the end, I think, of verse 7 or 8 in chapter 12. Verse 7, I think. So that was an altar of praise. Then if you look at verses 8 through 17 in chapter 12, he builds an altar of prayer. Amen. Where he has peace, he's glad to have peace between him and his nephew Lot. Then in chapter 13, 12, 1 through 7 is an altar of praise. Now, 12, 8 through 17 is an altar of prayer. It's an altar of prayer where he's praying, amen, on behalf for God to have help him to rescue his nephew, I believe. And then we go to chapter 13. That's where the altar of peace happens, where he's able to have peace with his nephew. You know, they were had a dispute between, both of them had a lot of cattle and a lot of livestock, and they was having a dispute, and they finally found a solution. And we see Abraham building an altar of peace. So he builds an altar of praise, an altar of prayer, an altar of peace. And then in this chapter that we're studying today, in chapter 22, amen, after the Lord provides for him the ram in the bush, he builds an altar again to thank God for his provision. So he has an altar of praise, an altar of power, an altar of peace, and an altar of provision. Let me say that one more time, just because you're writing them down. An altar of praise, an altar of prayer, an altar of peace, and an altar of provision. Amen. So he's consistently building altars to worship God for all that God is doing for him. I want to say one of the ways that you can tell if your faith is mature is by consistency. Are you consistent in your spiritual life, or are you up and down? Consistency is a mark of maturity. Are you consistently praying? Amen. Or do you just pray when you're in trouble? When you're consistent in prayer, not only do you pray when you're in trouble or when you have a need, but when you're consistent in prayer, you pray on the day that everything is going right. Consistency in prayer. Are you consistent in giving thanks? Are you always giving thanks to God for what he's doing in your life? For regardless of the things that may not be up to your expectation, there's always something to be thankful for. Are you consistently rejoicing? And I think about Paul in Philippians 4:4-6, I believe, where he's talking about how to rejoice always. Are you consistent in your rejoice? You need to rejoice in the Lord. I worship the Lord always. Do you have consistency as far as the deep inner joy in your life? All these are signs, are telltale signs about your spiritual maturity. Consistency in prayer, consistency in thanksgiving, consistency in rejoicing, consistency in your obedience in life, consistency in your generosity, a consistent peace. You have peace. And the reason why it passed, Paul says it passes all understanding, is because you don't only have peace when your context is peaceful, but you have peace even when your context or everything surrounding you seems to be a storm. But you maintain a consistency of inner peace. So a mark of spiritual maturity is your consistency. Are you able to have consistency when something causes you to become angry? Or do you lose that consistency? Are you able to have consistency when sometimes there's a flare up of sensual passion? Or can you still be consistently a follower of Christ even in that situation? Consistency, I say again, is a mark of maturity. We see consistency in the life of Abraham. When God spoke, he obeyed. He was always moving in the direction of obedience. The problem he had as he was moving in the direction of obedience, rather than depending on God, a lot of times he took it in his own hands. But he was always moving in the direction that God told him to move. I'm praying, if you really want to see, if you have if you're living a spiritually mature life, and that's your level of faith, is a mature faith, or what we are calling today a grown folk faith, then there should be some consistency in your life. If you got that grown folk faith that we're talking about today, it ought to be some consistency in the way you even treat people on a day-to-day basis. Do you have that kind of consistency? All right, secondly, now let's kind of get into the story. Most of you have heard this story of Abraham and all that God had did for Abraham. I want to say that when we look at Abraham's life, it was probably when, just looking at the timetable, it seemed to be that God first approached Abraham when Abraham was about 75 years old. And you know, if you're 75, you established, amen, in your community, and you've been blessed in that community, and you got livestock, and you got a lot of things, good things going on in that community. And then, and that's Abraham. He was 75 years old. Most of the time, we feel like when we get about 75, you know, we done all that we can do, and it's my time to retire. But God called Abraham when he was about 75 years old and tells him to pick up and leave the place that he has spent his whole life at. And then the thing about it, when he tells Abraham to leave Ur and follow him, God does not even give him a specific place where he's going to go. Basically, God just says, just follow my direction and I'll lead you where I'd have you to go. And at 75, Abraham, amen, obeyed God and left that place that was known to him and his community and his family and moved out on God's word. At 75, he obeyed God. And that's where his experiences start. And God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation. Amen. And he was going to give him a great land, and that he would make his offspring, his descendant, amen, a blessing. Say, amen, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. And in you, one of your descendants, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And at that particular time, he was talking about Jesus himself. So that's what our God was saying. And Abraham followed God and left all that he had. And God promised him land. Then in chapter 13, God repeats that promise. He repeats that same promise again in 13, saying, I'm going to bless you. Amen. Looked in the sky, said, look at the stars. Your offspring will be more than the stars. Your family is going to be more than the stars, than the sand. And he explained that to Abraham. So he promised him to be a great nation in 12, promised it again in 13 through his offspring. Chapter 15, verse 5, he promised it a third time. And in 15, he really made a promise. in 15, he actually made something similar to a contract in our day and time, because it was in 15 when God promised Abraham again about giving him a seed and offspring and how that family would be a blessing to the whole earth. Abraham asked this question: how will I know? And God said, okay, Abraham, let me show you what I'm going to do. And it says that Abraham kind of put, God kind of put Abraham in a semi-sleep. And what God did, he went and got various animals. He got a heifer, he got a goat, he got a ram, he got a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And the heifer, goat, and ram, he split half in two. Amen. Abraham split them half in two. Now, go out, Abraham. Get the heifer, get the goat, get the ram. Split them half in two. Put them on each side. We'll put one half on one side, the other half on the other side. All through those guys. They then get the turtle dove and the pigeon. You don't have to split them, but put them on the sides. And what I'm going to do, and you do that. And Abraham did what a job, and it was saying that after he got all the carcasses laid down, some of the birds of prey came down, and Abraham had to shoo them off. And finally, in the evening, after he got dark, God kind of put him in a semi-sleep position. And then God, in the form of fire, and went between these animals' carcasses. And that was the way, because back in the day, they didn't have like a written contract where you can sign the contract. But the way they made a covenant back in those days, that they did this, they split those animals, and when you, and both people that was part of the contract would go between those animals. And that was their way of saying that if I don't keep this covenant, the same thing that happened to these animals, I want to happen to me before God. They say, so if I don't keep the covenant, the agreement that we made today, then let this kind of death come up on me. They did that when they did covenants in Abraham's day. And God was saying that, and God had put Abraham to sleep and said, Abraham, and God walked between the animals, not with Abraham, but by himself. God said, I'm making this covenant with you, Abraham, but even though I'm making this covenant with you, I'm going to do all the work. I'm the one going to do everything to make this promise come true. I'm going to do everything necessary to make this promise come true. This thing that I'm promising you about an offspring and a land and being a great nation and being able to bless all the families of the earth, I'm the one going to make it come true. And God made a contract with Abraham. He said, hey, the contract ain't depending on you, Abraham. The contract is depending on me. I'm the one that's going to fulfill it. And then he doesn't stop there, but he promised it again in 17 and in 18. He made this promise to Abraham 5 or 6 times, the same promise repeated over and over again. So it was definitely a promise that God wanted Abraham to be certain of, because he kept repeating it over and over. Now, I said that if you got this grown folk faith, if you got this mature faith, if you got this faith where people can look at your life and you becoming more and more Christ-like consistently, if they can look at your life and they're seeing the fruit of the Spirit, patience, joy, kindness, self-control, if they seeing the fruit of the Spirit consistently, this grown folk faith, all those things should be apparent. But also, this is another way to for you to determine if you have this grown folk faith, this mature faith. It faces challenges by trusting promises. If you have this grown folk's faith, this faith faces challenges by trusting promises. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. It faces challenges by trusting promises. Don't think that when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, that all of a sudden, because you are a believer, everything in your life is going to go right. My brothers and sisters, when you begin to follow Christ, it upsets the enemy of your life. And not only will everything not go smooth and every day be a day of sunshine, but you're going to have some challenges just because you're following him and you're growing. You're going to face some challenges. I remember in the story, and most of you already know, and I've heard that you've been in church a little while, you've already heard about Job and the challenges that Job went through. And Job really was challenged by the enemy because of what God thought of him as a servant. God said, hey, he came, said it came unto somebody, he going back to, going to and fro, trying to deceive and devour people. And he said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Because God knew he could kind of, he could depend on Job. He knew Job. It's like when you're going to use car lot. It's like when you're going to use car lot. If you're going to use car lot, especially one on tote the note lot, the best cars, they'll let you drive. But the car they got problems, they usually have cars in front of them where you can look at them, but they don't want you to test them because they ain't got what it takes to stand the test. But because God knew Job could stand the test, God said, look at my servant Job. Now you give him a test, because I know he can stand the test. And Job, look what he suffered. Disaster, wind and storm. Disaster took Job's fortune, took his livestock and his home. Disaster took Job's fortune. But not only did disaster take his fortune, but disease destroyed his flesh. As he was sick and his bones and his flesh and his body was sores all over. Amen. And it was wasting away. And the enemy, his wife, under the influence of the enemy, said, curse God and die. As he was going through all this, so the same enemy that caused a disaster that took his fortune caused a disease that destroyed his flesh. But that wasn't even. Then you got to realize, amen, not only that, but the death in his family, all his sons and daughters. So look here. Job, a follower of God, one God said, look at my servant Job. Look at his servant. Look what kind of man he is. Look what kind of person he is to his community. But yet that same Job, disaster took his fortune. Disease destroyed his flesh. And death continued to reign in the family. But look at what Job said. I like it in the midst of all this, what Job said. I think it's about 14. Job said, though he slay me. Yeah, I'm looking at my body and it seems like I'm wasting away and I may be on my last day, but yet though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. See, that's mature faith. Mature faith said, I'm going to trust God anyway, anyhow. I already made up my mind. He's sovereign. I know he loves me. I know I'm cherished by him. I know he believes. So therefore, I don't know why all this is happening to me, but I'll talk to him about that. But I'm still going to trust him. though he slay me, I'm not going to impeach his character. Because what the enemy wants us to do is when negative things come into our lives, he's trying to impeach the character of God and have you think that God is not all that he's put up to be. That's what he told Adam and Eve when he impeached God's character before Adam and Eve said, hey, Eve, I know you think God is all that, but believe me, he don't want you to eat of the forbidden fruit because he's trying to keep something from you. The enemy always tries to impeach the character of God. But Job wouldn't have it. Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. In a few chapters, he said, hey, I know my Redeemer liveth. Ooh. And I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Faith that when you face challenges, trust promises. Oh, I wish you could just get that. If you can just get that down in our hearts and in our soul, in our spirit, as our faith challenges, because I'm going to face challenges. But as our faith challenges, I have to trust his promises. Abraham faced challenges. But as Abraham faced all the challenges that Abraham faced, Abraham had to trust his promise. I like when him and Lot were having, in their tribesmen and their workers were having conflict. And Abraham realized they couldn't go on like this because the land couldn't handle both of them. They were going to have to somehow separate. And Abraham trusted God so much. He said, listen here, Lot. I tell you what, you just choose whatever you want. You choose wherever you want, and you take that, and then I take what's left. You can say that when you know how much God loves you. When you got faith in Christ, you know, because when God says, I'm going to make you great, and I'm going to bless you, when God says he's going to bless you, he don't have to bless you in a certain spot, because God is not territorial. So he can bless you wherever you are. So he said, you go ahead and choose what land you want. And Lot went down there and chose next to Sodom and Gomorrah, which turned out to be a bad decision. And then Abraham chose the other land, and God blessed him. And often God blessed Abraham, and Abraham had to go and rescue Lot a couple of times. Because Abraham made his decision by he trusted God's promises. When you face challenges, trust his promises. Now, I want to say a cautionary note by trusting his promise. There are a lot of promises in the Bible, but every promise in the Bible ain't yours. So be sure that the promise that you're trusting in is a promise God made to you. Because sometimes there are promises he makes to people, and it's specifically for that person. Maybe some promise that he made for Israel, that's specifically for Israel. And you will try to claim that promise, but that promise not for you. That's like you're reading somebody else's mail. And you think that because you read it, it's for you. When you're looking at the promises and trying to determine if this is something that you can pray, because if you pray scripture, that's for you. God answered that scripture because this is his will. But, hey, be sure it's for you. Rightly divide the word of God. When you read something, is your address, is it addressed to Christians? Or is it addressed to Israel? Or is it addressed to both? Sometimes it's to both of God's people. But you need to determine that. You need to rightly divide the word of God. So, you know, I was thinking about when Abraham said a few minutes ago, right before I talked about the animals being cut, Abraham said, God, how am I going to know about this promise coming true? And I'm going to say, just like Abraham divided those animals, cut those animals, That's the way you have to look at scripture. If you want to know if this promise for you, you got to be studious and make sure what God is saying is intended for you. Now, if what he's saying is intended for you, then you can go ahead and claim that promise and pray about it and expect God to come through for you if it's his will. He's sovereign. So as you face challenges, trust promises. Now, you can't trust, my brothers and sisters, we can't. Let me say it like this. We cannot trust promises that we don't know about. So that's why you got to be in the Word of God. Because there's some thing that God may want to do as some instruction God has for us in his Word. His Word often like a love letter to us and some things he want to share with us. But we cannot experience those things if we don't know about those things. That's why we have to be consistent students of God. To have this, because a mature faith is based upon truth. God has not said he will meet our expectations. He always moves according to truth, not to meet our expectations. You know, that's what we do sometimes, my brothers and sisters. We'll expect God to move within a certain time period, and we'll put a timeline out there. And say, God, if you don't move by this time, then we think, oh, God done disappointed us, let us down. But God has never promised to do or to bless you according to your timeline. That was something you expected. He's never promised, amen, you deliver just because you want that house, you expect that kind of house. God ain't promise you that. He ain't promise you that you can have that certain kind of car. He has no timeline. So we can't, we can ask God, but we can ask God for those things we need and want, but you cannot let your expectations for God cause you to be disappointed in God, because God has never promised to meet your expectations. But his promises are true. If he promised it, he'll do it. He promised the children of Abraham with the Jericho, you go walk around that wall, march around that wall seven days. Once a day, but then once a day for the first 6 days, then on that 7 day, seven times around, and then shout in the wall, come down. Now, God promised that one. If they did their part of it, he promised that the wall would come down. Now, just because God said that to Israel, that don't mean if we want something, we can walk around it seven times, that it's going to work for us. Because that one, it wasn't for us, that was for Israel. And you go see that car you want and you walk around the same time and you can't afford it, it's not going to work for you. And then you upset because God didn't let your credit get it. God never promised you that. Yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. So be sure it's something that God promised you and not just something that you wanted for yourself, your own expectation. So if you got a mature faith, if you got this grown folk faith that we're talking about, number one, you're going to have, amen. If you got that, a sign of that maturity is consistency. Number two, when you face challenges, you're going to trust promises. Now, God had promised that through, and he repeated it especially in chapter, I think, 21. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless this son, amen, that Sarah is pregnant with. Ishmael is not the promised seed. It's going to be Isaac. I'm going to bless the world through Isaac. Amen. And then, you know, 25, now this is 25 years later. You got to, since God began to promise, Abraham was already 75. Now he's 99, and he promised that the child was going to be born when he was 100. Abraham, like many of us, put a timeline, or had one of them put a timeline. So when it didn't happen, they went in. Sarah said, we're going to use Hagar. We can take Hagar, and you can go into Hagar, Abraham, and have a child with her. And the rules are, if you have a child with her, since she's my servant, that'll be our child. And Abraham didn't object to it too much, don't look like. He just went on with it. See, I really hate to do this. I don't know if you said, I really hate to do this, but since, you know, I think maybe it is the right thing to do. And you know how it ended up? It caused the confusion in the family, and now it's still causing confusion in the world. Because he set a timeline. But then he said, God said, no, that wasn't the one, Abraham. You're going to have one through Sarah. And at the age they were, Sarah, both Abraham and Sarah just laughed at that proposition. Because they just couldn't see somebody their age having a child. But then I'm glad the angel is anything too hard for God. Oh, God. Is anything too hard for God? If God, amen, because sometimes God promises won't make sense to you. God will have you promise something, or you have that dream that he gave you, that vision he gave you, and you can see it, and you say, wow, there's no way that can happen. I don't have the resources, I don't have the time, I don't know how that's going to happen. But I'm saying, if you can confirm that that's what God would have you to do, you can trust God to do it, because nothing is impossible. There is no impossibility with God. There is no impossibilities when you're living for God. So here he is, Abraham 100, Sarah 90. And Sarah at 90 has the child. It was a child. They had been waiting on that child a long time. And you know, when you have a child in old age, there's so much love because you waited so long for it. And finally, they get the child. And Abraham rose in love with the child. So about approximately 15, this is about, I think, if you look at the timeline, about Isaac. After he was born, it's about 15 years later. He's about a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 14, off in that range. And God comes to Abraham and said, Abraham, and the bad thing, let me read it exactly how he says it. Because it's just the way he said it that really made it even worse. After then, gang. Verse 1, chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son. Now, he had another son, but he's talking about, this time he's talking about the only son that was at home, your only son, Isaac. And then he said, whom you love. God, you don't have to say that. Because that doesn't seem like it's, Abraham, I know you love him. The only son who you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain on which I should tell you. Your only son who you love, who's the son you owe it, who you've been waiting 25 years for, and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And then it says, on which I'll tell you. So we're going to Mount Moriah, a group of mountains, but there was a certain place that we're going to show him. Then verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took the two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he done cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he was going to the place of which God told him. And it was a three-day journey. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place where he was going to build the altar. And Abraham said to the young man, listen here, stay here. This is important, my brothers and sisters. Listen at what Abraham said. Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Now it says, God has said, go offer the boy as a burnt offering. When you offer the burnt offering, there's nothing left. You slay him, and after the burnt offering, there's nothing really left. But Abraham said, me and the boy, we're going to come back in a few minutes. It seemed contradictory. But we found out, I should have put that verse down. I think it's in Hebrews, in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham already knew that God could raise. He was willing because he knew that God had promised to bless him through Isaac. And in order to bless him through Isaac, if he slayed Isaac, he would have to raise Isaac. So this mature faith that Abraham had said, I'm going to obey God because even though this is a challenging thing that he's telling me to do, but I'm facing the challenge by trusting the promise. And he promised me that through Isaac, the whole nation is going to be blessed. So that means that if I slay him, the only way God's going to be able to do that, God's going to have to raise him up. So that's why he said to the young man who was holding the donkeys, we'll be back, me and the boy. Because yes, I'm God tell me to slay him. But somehow in my spirit, when I look at what God promised me, and then what he told me to do, I think God's going to raise this boy back to life. And Abraham went there. You know the story. He raised up the knife, and he was about to come down and take the boy's life. And God said, wait, hold it, Abraham. Don't take his life. Don't do no harm to the boy. I'm not into this human sacrifice like you, like the people in the country that you come in earth. In earth, human sacrifice was a normal thing. But I'm not into that, Abraham. Don't do the boy no harm. There's a ram in the bush. You know, Abraham said the Lord will provide, and he will provide. There's a ram in the bush. Take the ram and let the boy go. When he do it, if you trust his promises, God will do it. You got to trust what he'll do what he said he will do. And he said, Abraham, I know you love me now. I know you love me. I know you fear me now because you were willing to even sacrifice your son. I know what kind of faith you got now. And that faith that you have is going to be an example to followers of Christ. That faith that you have is going to be an example from now on to those who are the people of God. They're going to be able to look back and see your faith. Lastly, my brothers, God brought Abraham through because, amen, when he was faced with challenges, he trusted the promises, and God delivered. God delivers on his promises. Now, you got to be careful because the enemy don't deliver on his promises. The enemy always promises far more than he can deliver. But God always delivers far more than he promises because that's the God that we serve. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God, and he's worthy of our praise. This was Abraham's final exam. You know, God took him through a lot of tests from chapter 12 to chapter 22, but chapter 22 was the final exam. God said, oh, Abraham, you passed the final exam. I see. I'm your number one. I'm the number one in your heart, because it's just like when you're burning, and back in the day when they used to burn the dross out of gold and precious metals, they put it under the fire to all those things that were contaminating it. And when it came through the fire, it came out as pure gold. Mature faith is a pure faith. It comes through. God had gave Abraham a pure faith where he was willing to even go through with the sacrifice of Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Lastly, when you have a mature faith, it will cause a future faith in others. Because of Abraham's faith, his legacy, his sons and daughters, that faith was passed down. And even not only to his family and to all the people of God in the Old Testament, but even to the church in the New Testament, Paul always points back to Abraham as an example of faith. And he said, because of Abraham's faith, it was imputed to him as righteousness. God gave Abraham righteousness because of his faith. And the righteousness that Abraham had in order to get to heaven was because of his faith on earth. And he said, believers, it's like the same thing. What gives us righteousness, we don't go to heaven because of our own righteousness, but we go to heaven because of our faith. And God imputes Jesus' righteousness to us. And that gives us the ability to enter the gates and live with God forever. And as I close this, we think about this mountain that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. But at the last minute, the angel of the Lord said, don't do the boy no harm. But thousands of years later, when God sent his only begotten son out on Calvary Cross, near that same place where Abraham offered Isaac, and he was hung there on the old rugged cross, God did not send a substitute. There was no ram in the bush. He did not stop the death and the slaying of his own son. It was his own son that died for our sin and for our justification on Calvary's cross, and was buried and rose on the third day. So we know that it's through him that we have eternal life. He took our place. He was our substitute. My brothers and sisters, do you have that grown folk faith that can trust God consistently, that trust God so much that your life is consistent in prayer, in praise, in thanksgiving, in peace, in obedience? Do you have that faith that when you're faced with challenges, you trust his promises? Do you have that faith that can be passed on because it's mature, can lead others in the future? That's that grown folk faith. That's what Job had. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust. And he came to Job. I think Job, if he wrote after the book is over, after all he saw God, because God gave him double for his trouble and everything he had. My brother said, seek. Don't stop at the door of Christianity. Continue to grow. Continue to grow till you become all that God would have you to be. Say, I'm not going to stop just being a baby Christian. Inconsistent, up and down, word to death one day, peace one day, not really trusting God sometime, angry sometime, not angry sometime. Lustful sometimes, not lustful other time. We need consistency. Consistency, not perfect, but when you're, it's few and far in between, far apart, when you have those times. The more mature you are, then those lapses in faith are few and far in between. Your life is characterized by consistency, by facing your challenges, by trusting your promises. And when people look at your faith, they're inspired because of your faith. Consider that. If you don't know Christ, it's a good day to put your faith in Christ. A song is coming now. Gabriel's going to bring a song. And as you listen to it, consider this morning. Say, hey, I'm not going to just settle. I'm not going to just settle. I got to move forward in my faith. Because there's a God that's able. I don't care how much I done went through. Amen. God ain't promised me every day going to be sunshine. That's not the way he said it's going to be. I'm having ups and downs, struggles. Sometimes when it rains, it seems like it's pouring. But when it's pouring, I know God reigns in heaven. He's still on the throne. So I can still trust him. As we hear the song, would you consider, continue to do the things, stay in the word, stay in prayer, stay around the right people that's encouraging you and godly people so you can move forward. And God going to use the experience of your life to mature your faith. Amen. Let's listen to the song and we'll be right back.
And how I prove it. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As we sign off today, let's first I want to say next Saturday, this coming Saturday, let me say it like that, 6 o'clock business meeting. 6 o'clock, we'll be having our church business meeting. All right. 6 o'clock, we're having a church business meeting. We'll probably try to do that by Zoom. But we will be at the building. So if you want to come to the building and you want to mask up, we'll be having the protocols in place. You can do it at the building. But those of you that don't want to come to the building, amen, we'll be doing it on Zoom. So that's at 6 o'clock this coming Saturday. All right. Now, and we'll have Bible study after that. The woman Bible study will be after that. Maybe sometime between 7 and 7:15. Probably 7, really. We should be finished by 7. I'm thinking about 7:15 at the latest. So Cheryl will begin Bible study at that particular time for the women. That's this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. You can come and join us at the building. You can also, like I said, you can be on, we'll have it on Zoom, and we'll send you the number to get into the Zoom if you want to join us by Zoom Saturday evening. All right, let's remember also the Thursday night Bible study from 6 to 7, that over-the-phone Bible study that's led by Sister Kirvin, Julie Kirvin. And I'm trying to look at this thing at the same time. So keep those things, man. Stay in prayer. Amen. We'll be sharing at the business meeting some of our ideas about gradually getting back into the building, getting back to normal. and all the other stuff for the new year. So try to join us at that meeting if at all possible. Hope y'all having a great day. Enjoy your Sunday. We kind of a couple minutes over our time today, but thank you for staying with us. Thank you all of you for joining in. We certainly appreciate everything that you do. So be in prayer for one another and for us, that God will continue to bless our church and we can do tremendous things for him in the upcoming year. Y'all have a great day, and we'll probably, hopefully we'll see you or being able to share Sunday night for my church family meeting, either in present or over the podcast. Thank you so much. Or over Zoom, I mean.